You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning, and welcome to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship with the Archdiocese of Chicago.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications, also of the Archdiocese.
And we're here every fourth Wednesday of the month with our show, which does exactly what the title implies. We focus on the liturgical life of our faith. Mm-hmm. We look at the seasons. We look at the other aspects of the liturgical year. We break open rites and rituals and look at the texts that shape and that form us.
And for the last several months, actually for probably the last
this
year,
whole year
almost,
right?
We've been talking about the texts of the Mass, which are found in the ritual book called the Roman Missal, which has recently been retranslated. And had I checked on the Bishop's Roman Missal website yesterday
to see the days,
and yesterday was exactly 2 months, so we are 59 days away from implementation of these new texts, which is November 27th, which is the first Sunday of Advent, or the Mass of Anticipation the preceding evening, which is actually November 26th.
Right, right. As we've been saying at our office, and I know it's the same over at LTP, it is all Roman Missal
all the time.
That's exactly mm-hmm. in these last 2 months. And so, folks, what else are we going to talk about on today's show?
The Roman Missal.
Other as various topics that surround the implementation of the English translation mm-hmm. of the third edition. As Danielle just said, that'll take place the first Sunday of Advent, which also is Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes, it is.
So that is going to be
a very busy weekend.
It's going to be a major weekend in parishes all over mm-hmm. the United States. It's Thanksgiving weekend. It's the first Sunday of Advent.
Regular parishioners will be attending, and also probably a lot of visitors in your parish.
Oh, yeah.
So that adds an interesting dynamic to it on how to reach everybody about these new texts and what's going on.
Right. Mm-hmm. People traveling for the holiday
exactly.
will be there. So it's going to be, and we've been encouraging parishes to remember that, to take all of that into
right.
account.
Right.
There will be a lot. In some places, it's going to make the secular press. I cannot imagine, for example, that there will not be reporters outside of Holy Name Cathedral mm-hmm, on mm-hmm, that weekend.
Mm-hmm, very true.
And in some of the suburban mm-hmm. Parishes, mm-hmm. the suburban papers will mm-hmm. be at their local parishes.
Right.
Asking for reaction from parishioners afterwards. So, I mean, that's going to be another dynamic mm-hmm. that parishes are going to have to kind of juggle,
right.
you know, in the midst of blessing the Advent wreath, introducing
right.
the new
text. That's true.
Welcoming visitors from Thanksgiving
it's
weekend.
It's going to be a very filled liturgy.
Yeah, it definitely. And that'll be the first liturgy in which we'll be using the new text.
And possibly blessing of the missals themselves as well.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, and in fact, that's one of the things we're going to talk about in today's show. So it's going to be a smattering of things.
Yeah.
It's different aspects of receiving that have come up in our office, Danielle, that has come up in LTP's process of producing resources mm-hmm. and such. Just it's all kinds of peripheral things.
Right.
For the our listeners, just to catch you up if you haven't been following each of our shows with the Roman Missal. You all know that in the year 2000, John Paul issued a third edition of the Roman Missal, the texts, all of the texts needed for the celebration of the Mass. It's the red book that mm-hmm. Father uses. A third edition was issued.
In Latin,
mm-hmm. right, as every formal and official document of the Church is issued in that language. And it needed to be translated.
Exactly. So this is a 10-year process. that has finally come to conclusion, and publishers have been working like mad to publish the ritual books, which are going to be shipped at the end of this week.
Yeah.
October 1st was the ship date. So parishes are anxiously awaiting their new missals. We have boxes and boxes in our warehouse
at LTP.
Well,
you said before the show, how many, 10,000 of them in the warehouse?
We printed, I think, about 10,000 or more. So we've been getting them in a progression of maybe 1,500 at a time, and we've been packing them and getting the orders ready ahead of time because you can't wait till the last minute to do all this.
Right.
So we've been working past regular business hours and weekends to get these ready. So it's been quite a process from the very beginning of planning for the publication, the proofing and editing process when we finally got the text, and now packing the
Good
missiles.
Lord. I mean, there's probably no better comparison. I mean, it had to have been like giving birth.
It was. And you know what was really interesting recently? Our designer and our print buyer, the one who does all of the bindery negotiations, they went down to the bindery to watch the process in the very beginning of the binding of the missiles, and they filmed it. So we have the footage, and actually we may be posting it on our Roman Missal website.
Oh,
it's just really fascinating to look at. This is a book that, you know, as the text of the Mass say, you know, it's the work of human hands. It really is, so that we can give praise and glory to God. And it's just fascinating on everything that's involved in the publication of this book.
And so later in the show, you know what, let's spend a little bit of time talking about the components of the missal itself,
sure,
the artwork, and how that came to be, because the artwork really does add
it
something
does
to it.
So it does.
We can look at that as well. There's just all kinds of different lenses through which to look at this. But you made a point just a bit ago. Yeah, this is a 10-year process, and it amazes me. Our office, the staff, has been going around the archdiocese to various parishes giving presentations. It always amazes me how there are still people who, oh really, there's something different that's gonna come.
Yeah,
and it's been 10 years we've been involved.
I know,
in this.
But we've been entrenched in
right.
this. You know, we're kind of behind the scenes and have an unusual perspective or involvement with this. But yeah, I agree with you, Todd. I'm really surprised by how many parishioners do not know. And in my own parish, I mean, we've been talking about it. We've had various presentations, and people will say, what's coming? Something's coming,
right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. And that's where it can get confusing, because as you and I have been saying every month on this show, it's not a new Mass.
Right.
The Mass isn't changing.
Just the words are going to be different.
And well, even there, it's not new prayers.
No, it's the Latin text.
Right.
It's just a different translation.
That's the key.
It's the same text.
That's the key. What we are getting in November is a different translation of the Latin that we've had for the last 50 years.
Right.
So the prayers aren't new. The prayers are not changing. It's the way that they are translating that has changed. And just talk a little bit about Liturgium Authenticum, because that's why after John Paul issued the third edition of the Roman Missal in the year 2000.
A new document was issued the following year in 2001, which is Liturgium Authenticum. And since the promulgation of the Constitution on the Sacred Liturgy, which was the first document of the Vatican Council, which reformed the liturgical rites, that's when the change happened to the Mass, the order of the Mass, the different elements of the Mass. There have been five instructions on how to implement that Constitution. And the most recent one was the fifth instruction, which is Liturgium Authenticum. And that changed the principles for translation. We had moved from what was called dynamic equivalence, which took the general meaning of the words and
the message
into
of the text,
formal
right.
equivalence, which is the more literal translation of the Latin text.
And you know, Danielle, we make it a point in those presentations that our office does, and I'm sure you and I have talked about it as well. You know, it wasn't like in 1969 when the Mass was revised and the first edition of the Roman Missal was given, and then that was translated. It's not like the church said, okay, you know, wiping their hands, all right, we're done.
Right.
It's been translated.
Right.
It's done. We know that you look over the last 49, 50 years, the method of translating the Latin has been developing and evolving.
Exactly. And that's natural. I mean, think about it. Latin was used for how many hundreds of
1,200 years? 1,200 years
plus. And so this is a very new thing for the church. 40 plus years, we've only been celebrating it in the vernacular languages. It's going to grow. It's going to change. It's going to evolve.
Let's pick up on there when we come back after this first break. So stay with us for more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics. They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through. Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, "You know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in?" And gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, "Is this something you can do?" And I looked at her and says, "You're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now, and I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head."
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
And we're talking about what else but the Roman Missal. 2 months, less than 2 months.
59 days.
We will implement the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. And Danielle, right before that break, we were talking about just kind of reminding the listeners, looking at that process of translating the Latin liturgical text. And even during the break, Brian, our producer, we were over the mics back and forth about that that process. And you and I had just made note that once the Mass was translated into English in the middle of the 20th century, mm-hmm. It's not, we didn't say, you know, okay, we're done.
Right.
People should be able to even remember, you know, some tweaking, mm-hmm. development that mm-hmm. went on. We raised this in our workshops.
Absolutely.
People remember at one point we said, "In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost."
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
right.
for a good couple of
right.
years.
Right.
And then in the early 70s, we changed that
right.
because ghost wasn't an adequate translation
right.
of Sancte Spiritu.
And even the conclusion to the readings. People
more
will
recent
remember,
example.
This is the word of the Lord versus the word of the Lord.
Why?
And the
why
word,
was it changed?
Well, it's more faithful to the Latin text.
Verbum
and
Domini.
And it models all of the other declarative statements in the liturgy, the body of Christ, the word of the Lord, the gospel of the Lord, and so forth.
So the point is that evolution of translation has been going on. Liturgia Authenticum didn't come out of the blue.
Right.
You know, calling for a more literal translation. Faithful, I find, a more faithful translation. That's kind of politically charged, you know?
It's
a more literal translation of the Latin.
It is a literal translation. And even
because the first translation was not unfaithful.
No, it wasn't. And ISIL, that is the group of translators who are charged with the task of translating into English. It's the International Commission on English and the Liturgy, and they follow the methodology that they're given, and that's what they did with the previous methodology, dynamic equivalence, which came from, and you can pronounce this better than me because it's
Comme
French.
Les Poivres.
Thank you.
That was the document that gave the very first methods to use in translation. But and as we say, it's been evolving, and so now we have the English translation of the third edition, which uses, as you say, a different methodology, and that's why it's going to sound different.
Yes.
You know, and you look at the liturgical dialogue of Dominus Vobiscum at Cum Spiritu Tuo. Mm-hmm. You know, that's been part of our liturgy for literally centuries.
Yes.
Since you know the first half of the first millennium of our tradition,
and it's a biblical greeting, and I think one of the great things with being more literal to that Latin translation is, you know, the English speaking countries are now in unity with all of the other countries who've been saying "and with your spirit" in their vernacular translations
for 50 years.
Along.
The Spanish, the French, the German, the Italian, the Polish, they've all been saying,
and
with
your spirit.
Mm-hmm. Same with some of the other responses. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. The other major languages have been saying that for years. So yeah, that's one of the characteristics because it's a more literal translation.
Right.
And there are others.
Right. And with that literal translation, the biblical allusions to the text are more clear. And that example that you just gave is one of those examples, and that's straight from Matthew.
The response to the invitation to communion. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Right, that's the story of the centurion.
And, you know, Catholics have been criticized so much for not knowing the Bible. And, you know, and some have criticized us that our Mass isn't biblical, but it is. It's everywhere.
I agree with you. I don't think most Catholics realize how much Scripture is in the texts that we use to praise God. Our liturgical prayers are literally filled with Scripture.
Absolutely.
And again, this is one of the points we make going around the Archdiocese, but think about that for a second. What does the Church do? The Church gives us the Word of God with which we praise and thank God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the words we use to praise God are the Word of God themselves.
Right. Right.
I mean, what a profound reality.
Right.
You know, so yeah, you're right. Our prayers are literally filled with Scripture, and they will be more obvious.
Mm-hmm.
They've always been there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like John Paul in the third edition added Scripture to the text.
Right.
They've always been there.
Right.
Actually, from the earliest years.
And that's an interesting point too, because I think some people react, "Oh, they added a new phrase to the Gloria." No, it's in
the
Latin text.
We praise you, we bless you, we adore you.
And
that's
love that. I think that is one of the best parts of this new translation.
I agree with you. It's one of my favorite pieces as well. I think it's absolutely beautiful. For those of you who might not have heard that show we did on the Gloria, there is in the very beginning, there's that rhythm and that almost lyrical praise.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's very musical.
And it say it again.
We praise you, we bless you, we glorify you,
we adore you. We give you thanks for your great glory.
And it's in the Latin text.
It's always been.
Yeah, you know, I've commented on this before, but Paul Turner is a writer for LTP, has said on numerous occasions that, you know, when you're in the presence of God, what do you say? And you tend to babble and stammer and in a good way, and that, you know, we're so overcome with joy and praise for God that's what we're doing. And that that phrase to me sums up liturgical action.
We make it a point to mention that aspect in the workshops, and it's like we can't come up with enough words to describe what it is we want to do before God at that moment in the liturgy. We praise you. We bless you. We adore you. We glorify you.
Right.
That's all. And it's going to be some beautiful texts and some challenging texts too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's promises and there's also some challenges. We all know, we're all aware of the creed now, you know, containing the words. We will use the words consubstantial. We'll use the word incarnate. And those are going to be some challenges.
And there will be questions of why we've moved from we believe to I believe. And some people have questioned we're moving to an individual perspective versus a communal perspective, but not at all.
No.
And you know, look at, you know, the text of baptism and even the Apostles' Creed. We've been saying I believe. And you are making that statement of faith in the presence of community.
Right. And in reality, the liturgy is inconsistent throughout in terms of the person.
Right, right.
And we'll pick up on there when we come back. So stay with us. We're talking about the Roman Missal here on Focus on the Liturgy on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We'll be back after these messages.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
And Danielle, right before that break, we were talking just about the, particularly you raised it with the difference people will hear in the creed.
Mm-hmm.
We'll begin, I believe,
right,
instead of
we believe.
We believe. And you made that point that for some people that's going to be a little bit jarring. And, you know, it is interesting to keep in mind that the liturgy is inconsistent.
Right. Right.
You know, in the beginning of Mass, we'll pray together, I confess,
right?
Right.
Right.
And then later on, we'll say, Our Father.
Right.
In the Creed, we'll say, I believe. Mm-hmm. And then just a few moments later, we'll say, when we eat this bread.
Right.
So
right.
It's inconsistent. Mm-hmm. And that I that you made mention of in the Creed that we'll use come November 26th and 27th, you know, it's the baptismal format.
Right. And the Latin for that credo is first person,
right?
Which is why it's translated to "I believe."
And we've made mention a number of times of that date,
mm-hmm.
November 26th and 27th. So as of that date, This coming English translation is the only translation that will be allowed to you know, that we'll be able to use.
And those are the same responses that are in the Missal that might appear elsewhere in other ritual books. We should say what's in the Missal, correct?
UCB just
recently clarified that, because there have been numerous questions, you know, rite of baptism.
We've been saying that, right. Yeah, Danielle's talking about what happens when, on a Sunday afternoon, for example, when you have a deacon baptizing infants.
Mm-hmm.
He'll say at the beginning of the rite of baptism, the Lord be with you. Mm-hmm. So what should people respond? Our office is in counseling that in those instances, you're right, we use the response from the Missal, because otherwise it will just be confusing to people.
Right. And even in the, and priests are familiar with this, that the collects and the prayers over the offerings and the prayers after communion and the various prefaces that are used for a funeral or for the rite of marriage or initiation.
That are in the Missal.
That are in the Missal, but also those same prayers which may be in that actual ritual book for that sacrament. If it's in the Missal, you need to go to the Missal instead of the old ritual book.
Right, right. So that will be the only text approved for use. Mm-hmm. It's the only one we'll be able to use. And even though I think it is happening, this coming English translation is not to be used until the 26th and 27th of November.
There is early implementation of music.
Let's talk about
that.
But
it's for the responses, right. And if it's sung, you can use the new musical settings.
Annabelle O'Shea in our office always talks about this in the workshops that we do. We do have permission now to use limited texts.
Right.
And they are?
The Gloria, for example.
Right.
And one of the concerns about using the Gloria is because when we begin on the first Sunday of Advent, you're going to hear the Gloria once on Immaculate Conception and then Christmas. And there'll be a lot of visitors, maybe people that only go on Christmas and Easter, and, you know, being pastorally sensitive to learn that. And really, the Gloria is a hymn, and it really should be sung joyously.
Oh my gosh, yes.
So it's been a concern to many liturgists on how to do that well and what setting to use so that people can respond. And so the Gloria is one of those texts that we can be using, and we do it every Sunday.
Right. Annabelle in our office makes that point very strongly, and I think that's important. Mm-hmm. This was a pastoral concern of the bishops.
It is a pastoral concern.
And, you know, and good for them.
Mm-hmm.
We will not have sung the Gloria for 4 weeks,
right?
Save the Immaculate Conception, as you said. This first time at Christmas, for goodness sakes, we should be able to sing it. And so the bishops were given permission to allow in their dioceses the use of that now. And then the other two?
The Holy, Holy, Holy and
the
Memorial Acclamations.
The Memorial. Mm-hmm. Those are the three.
Yeah.
They're the only three pieces of the coming English translation that we can use now.
Right. And remember, the Amen isn't changing, obviously, and the Lamb of God isn't changing. So those are the other two. So if you have picked, I just want to say that, because if you pick a musical setting, really the Holy, 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 the Memorial Acclamation, and the Amen should be from the same setting, so that there's a consistency in the musicality of the flow of that part of the liturgy.
Right.
So what setting that you use, you know, the text of the Amen isn't changing. So you can use the Amen from the new setting that you've decided to use.
Right. Oh, now you mean. Yeah, I see what you mean. I see what you mean. Yeah. For those parishes, that's an interesting point, because Annabelle, again, from our office, will talk about this. The opposite, though, if a parish doesn't choose to begin using the new text early, and they've got other means by which they're teaching the community the new Gloria, to consider not using the new settings of the Amen, or the Lamb of God, only because they're not, exactly as you said, they're not changing. So while the parish is trying to learn a new Gloria, a new Sanctus, and a new Memorial Acclamation, keep those other ones. Don't use the new settings of those other ones. Don't add to more music that needs to be learned. So it's kind of depends on the situation.
It's raised some very interesting questions for musicians and liturgists about what to use, whether doing a revised setting, because many composers have revised settings that we've used for years, like Massive Creation is one of the most familiar musical settings, and composers have compose completely new settings, and we learn text through music.
Right.
So what is the most pastorally effective way to learn the new text? So I'm going to be really interested to hear feedback from various parishes that have chosen to use new versus revised or vice versa, and see how well it was received and the, how high the participation level is. It'll be interesting.
Let's spend some time talking about that when we come back from this break. What should parishes be doing now? Mm-hmm. Where should they be in their preparation for receiving and implementing the English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal?
That's where
we'll pick up. So stay with us here on Focus on the Liturgy on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We'll be right back.
Join Team Catholic Charities for the 2011 AIDS Run Walk in Grant Park on Saturday, October 1st as an active participant or sponsoring member. 100% of the funds raised by the team are returned to Catholic Charities' HIV/AIDS case management programs, food pantry, and ministry in Cook and Lake Counties. For more information, please call the Catholic Charities Office of Volunteer Relations at 312-655-7322. Together, we can make a difference.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake Counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
And on the Catholic Community of Faith, this is Focus on the Liturgy. I'm Todd Williamson.
And I'm Danielle Knott.
And we're talking about the Roman Missal, just some various topics associated with the coming reception and implementation of the English translation. Mm-hmm. And Danielle, right before the break, we started to talk about parishes. What should parishes be doing? Where should they be at this point in their preparation?
Well, definitely parish staff members should be educated about this already. It's coming very, very soon. People in the parishes are probably going to get more of a sense that something's coming, and parish staff really need to be educated about the changes, why it's happening, what are some examples, what are some of the meanings behind the changes, so that they can catechize effectively about the changes.
Right, be able to talk about why we're going to say "and with your spirit."
Exactly.
You know, be able to talk about why the Gloria is going to sound different.
And in being educated, they'll know of how to educate others and what resources they need to get. I mean, right now, music should be evaluated in terms of parish needs and what setting are you going to do? Are you going to do it now and start early? Are you going to wait till Advent? All of that should be in place. People are going to be needing worship aids. So what kind of worship aids are you going going to purchase for the parish? Are you going to get a pew card? Are you going to subscribe to a missalette service again? Are you going to get a permanent worship aid that has the full text of the Order of Mass? Various publishers are doing that. Or like the pew cards, it's just the primary responses of the people.
I don't know that in one sense, I'm not sure that everybody kind of has that awareness that come that weekend, every person in the church, everyone, head and members, uh-huh. huh, priest and uh-huh. congregation, everybody is going to have something in their hands.
Exactly.
And it's going to be like that for a while.
And even presiders, you know, looking through the text ahead of time to get a sense of the syntax and the rhythm for proclamation purposes, you know, getting resources that will help them look through them and learn the cadence, what to
and
emphasize.
And the syntax. We got mm-hmm. a couple that we can point out at the end
yeah.
of this show.
Yeah, so absolutely. That,
you know,
mm-hmm.
well, you know what? That going back to what the parishes are going to use, if they already subscribe to a missalette service,
you're all set.
They don't have to worry.
It's going to be changed.
It's going to be
mm-hmm.
in there, the missalette publishers. If they don't use missalettes, like my parish,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mine too,
you're going to need a pew card mm-hmm. of some sort. And LTP, I still think that theirs is the best, but there are numerous ones out there. You know, you'll know the answer to this, probably,
sure.
Working with the publishers, because I've been asked this a couple of times. What about a parish that does its own worship aid every week? Do they have permission to put the texts, like the Lord be with you and with your spirit, do they have permission to put those in their worship aid,
you know,
or do they need to get
that? I think
that?
They need to consult with ISIL in order to do that. That's my understanding.
That's exactly. That was my thinking as well.
And ISIL has a website. You can Google it, and there's an email. There's a permissions email on the website,
right.
and I'm sure that they do that. But you know what, Todd, I can, if you want to... if we wanted to put something on our Roman Missal website about this, I think that's a very good question, and not everybody has that understanding about the copyright laws involved with this for music, for lectionary texts, for mass texts. I can get an official response from ISIL, and we can put it on our website. ODW could put it on their website.
That would be good. I've talked to a number of liturgists here in the Archdiocese who do that every
mm-hmm,
week, and,
mm-hmm.
and their
yeah,
thought
my parish
was,
does that too.
Well, we're just mm-hmm. going to put it in the in mm-hmm. you know we're just going to put it in our worship aid, and I always caution them, you need to
right.
check about copyright
right.
first.
Right.
Again, no matter how what format it is, everybody's going to need something.
Yes.
So the staff should already be well on board.
Mm-hmm.
The parishes should by now have decided their musical settings.
Right.
They should have decided by now what form of worship aid they're going to use.
Right.
And you know what? I would add to this list that by now parishes should already be offering opportunities and the means by which the general Catholic,
right.
the general parish
right.
population is being
right.
educated.
Whether it's through bulletin inserts or formation sessions. And it's important that this move beyond just learning the text themselves. But this, we've been saying for months that this is an opportunity to learn about the liturgy. So putting a greater context to the text themselves to really understand the Mass and then talk about the text within that context.
If all we do is keep it about new words,
mm-hmm.
we're missing the boat.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity for everyone
right.
to come to a deeper understanding
right.
and appreciation about the Eucharist. And I think that happens when you do things like look at, okay, why is the church putting the words of the centurion on our lips
right.
at this moment
right.
in the liturgy.
Right.
In our workshops, this is the so what question.
Right.
At one point, we were talking at one of the workshops and made that point, you know, that now the quote from the centurion, Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Now that's the fuller quote, the more literal mm-hmm. quote from scriptures. And isn't that wonderful? And the participant said, so what?
Mm-hmm.
So what that it's the quote of the centurion? Well, then to be able to talk about that,
right.
huh? The fact
right.
that, in that statement of the centurion, it reveals his faith in this
right.
in Christ.
Right.
And that's what the liturgy is calling us to at that moment
right.
in the liturgy, that same kind of faith. So if it's just about the new words, we're missing it.
Right. But also a plan should be in place by now with these formation sessions on reaching the different ages in your parish. You know, what are you going to do for adults? What are you going to do for teens? What are you going to do for small children that maybe just this past Easter they celebrated First Communion and learned it this
learned
way,
the
and then all of a sudden
response,
it changes. Yeah. So how do you adapt the information to the particular age groups? That's another challenge.
And we can talk about some of those resources that are
sure.
available. You know, in this whole thing about educating the general Catholic population, it's a little bit out of order in our outline that we have for today's show, but I'm going to take this time to talk a little bit about the workshops that our office is doing around the Archdiocese. For the general Catholic population. Over a dozen of them are scheduled. We've already done a couple of them, and tell you more about that when we come back from this break. So stay with us here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. We'll be back with more Focus on the Liturgy after these messages.
September is National Hunger Action Month, and Catholic Charities needs you to join the fight to end hunger in our communities. Organize a food drive in your neighborhood, donate to one of Catholic Charities' many food and nutrition programs, or sponsor one of our food pantries. Visit www.catholiccharities.net/hunger or call us at 312-655-7315 to find out how you can be a hunger hero. Join the fight to end hunger today.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the 3 R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. We're talking about the coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal. And right before that break, I made mention of workshops that the Office for Divine Worship is doing all over the Archdiocese for the general Catholic population. Praying the new Missal texts, Roman Missal workshops for all Catholics. Well, as I said, Danielle, we scheduled over a dozen of them, and we've already done five of them, I believe. But they're scheduled throughout the month of October, even into the first week of November, I believe. And we tried to schedule them in all different areas of the Archdiocese. Listeners can consult our website. If you go to our website, you'll find a flyer that lists all of the parishes, the dates, and the times for the remaining Missal workshops. And they're 2 hours long, and the next one, for example, is a week from tonight at Our Lady of Sorrows Basilica, and then the following week we're at St. Linus in Oak Lawn. The week after that we're at St. Mary of the Angels in Chicago. The week after that we're up in Hoffman Estates at St. Hubert. Then the end of, actually the end of October, we've got three scheduled on one Sunday.
Oh, wow.
At St. Eulalia in Maywood, at St. Mary Star of the Sea in Chicago, and at St. William Parish. And then we're at St. Columba the first week of November. So they're all there. Mm-hmm. 2 hour workshops. Mm-hmm. We spend the time The first part of it is looking at the context mm-hmm. of the third edition of the Roman Missal, what it is, how it came to be, how it fits into the last mm-hmm. 50 years of renewal. Then the second half, we walk through the order of Mass, mm-hmm. highlighting kind of the major pieces for the congregation mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. will sound different. Mm-hmm. So open to anybody. No fee. There's no cost to them. And anybody doesn't have to be at your parish. So listeners, if you're interested in that, get a group of your parishioners together. You can come to any one of those. You can go to odw.org for more information. It's www.odw.org. So that's one of the things that parishes can do. A number of other things that parishes might consider. You and I were talking during the break of things like the blessing for the new Roman missals,
yeah.
and what to do with the old sacramentaries.
Right.
But in fact, just this week,
well, LTP had Cardinal George come to our offices and blessed the already sold missals. So we prepared.
And that's at no extra charge, folks. So you get
right,
an already
exactly,
blessed
get
missile.
Get an already blessed missile.
By the cardinal.
We prepared an order of blessing. It was adapted from a blessing that's in the Book of Blessings. It's for articles for liturgical use. And we adapted that. And it had an opening song, greeting collect,
scripture
readings, a homily, prayer of the faithful, and then the prayer of blessing. So we celebrated that on Monday. So it was a really nice nice event. We opened it up to the public and had many visitors come. Mostly priests came, which was
wonderful.
Great. They wanted to really
excellent.
See the missal.
Yeah.
We had the ritual edition and the chapel edition on display, so people could see the book itself. See the tabs and the ribbons and the materials and the page breaks. And,
that's great.
And
that's great. Well, the USCCB noted, the United States Conference mm-hmm. of Catholic Bishops, that it would be quite appropriate for the missal to be blessed. When would if a parish was going to do that? And again, they can find an order of blessing in the Book of Blessings. Mm-hmm. Best kept secret, the Book
yes,
of Blessings.
Yes, it is.
The order would be for blessing the items used, blessing items for liturgical use.
Right, exactly.
And when would a parish celebrate this?
You know, you may disagree with me on this, but the book itself is going to be used, obviously, for the celebration of Mass. So I would actually have that blessing done before it's going to be used.
I don't disagree. I agree with you 100%. Mm-hmm. I don't think the first Sunday is the time to bless it.
I completely agree.
I don't think the 26th and the 27th of November is the best mm-hmm. time to bless it. I think the week before, Christ mm-hmm. the King.
Right, right.
At the end of Mass.
Okay.
Before the final blessing, mm-hmm. After the post-communion prayer, would mm-hmm. be an excellent mm-hmm. point mm-hmm. at which to bless the missal that will be used the week after.
Right.
If a parish is in the habit, if part of their liturgical life is a celebration of the hours throughout the week, that might be another mm-hmm. opportunity mm-hmm. Where the missal could be blessed. You know, or a parish might consider that week before Thanksgiving, although that's going to be a busy week. Yeah, probably not. Never mind.
Well, if people are interested, the prayer that we used Monday, I've adapted it again for general parish use. Yeah, we're going to make a
excellent.
PDF of that and put it on our Revised Roman Missal website. Now, the full order of service is going to be available. So, and it's meant to be done, that particular service that we had Monday was meant to be done outside of Mass. So the full order is there, but if parishes choose to do it
during
within
Mass
yeah. there will be a note in the service of what to use.
Excellent.
Which would simply be the prayer of blessing.
Excellent. I saw it beforehand, you know, so as you were developing it, so it's a fine piece. That'll be a great help. What about the old sacramentaries?
Well,
what about the sacramentaries that will no longer, a parish called me and asked about how do you decommission? Well, there is no decommissioning right. You wouldn't do that at all.
You can bury them.
Yep. USCCB talks about that.
Yes. I would also recommend, you know, these are historical books that they should be saved for reference, for study, for curiosity. If your parish has a library, keep them in the library.
I agree.
Make sure that people are aware that this isn't the current ritual book, it's the old one. Catholic schools and libraries across the country donate them.
good idea. I mean, I agree with you. They shouldn't all be discarded. Mm-hmm. But if a parish has a surplus, okay, right. we've got a couple that we saved for archives. We put them in the parish library. What about the rest of them? Mm-hmm. They could be buried. Or another option would be to burn it
and dispose of the ashes,
and then to bury the ashes on church property.
Right. And remember, these are probably blessed books, so this is what we usually do with blessed items.
They shouldn't just be thrown out in the garbage.
Right. Exactly.
It's a sacred
text. They're
sacred
books. They're ritual
really are.
Books.
Mm-hmm. They've been used in your parishes, celebration of the Mass, for decades.
Right.
There is not, you know, there is sacredness of about them. There's family history for the parish.
Right.
They shouldn't just be thrown out. They should be reverently disposed
of.
So yeah, the two main ways would be burying or burning them and then burying the ashes. But there is no right for decommissioning. you would bless the new ones, but you don't need to do anything ritually with the old sacramentaries.
Mm-hmm.
Stay with us. After this final break, we'll be back with more Focus on the Liturgy here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
Game with the Catholic Charities Junior Board for a good cause. Saturday, November 12th is the Junior Board's signature fundraiser, and we hope you'll join us. The 5th annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food from Cafe Bianda, 3 open bars, blackjack, craps, roulette, an incredible lineup of silent auction and raffle items, including 2 trips to the Bahamas, and much more. Tickets are only $80 and are on sale now at CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21. More than half of your ticket price will go directly to the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, shelter, and other crucial emergency services to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake counties. Game with us for a good cause. For details, call Lisa at 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard.
Welcome back to Focus on the Liturgy. I'm Todd Williamson from the Office for Divine Worship.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications.
And in this last segment, we just want to talk a little bit about some of the resources, because earlier in the show we were talking about how people can prepare themselves for the coming English translation of the third edition of the Roman Missal, what kinds of things parishes might be able to provide. And so spend some time talking about that. But LTP. Liturgy Training Publications, it's a publishing arm of the Archdiocese of Chicago, has some of the best resources out there. And in particular, the Missal itself.
You know,
there were 7 publishers in the United States given permission to publish the Roman Missal. LTP was one of them. And you just got them and you blessed them this week.
Yes.
And they are beautiful.
They're beautiful. I'm very proud of the staff members. They've worked very, very hard. We have a brilliant designer. The cover of the book was based on a 9th century book of the Gospels, ivory cut. And it's the cross is from that book of the Gospels. She also found an ancient image of the Cairo. the Greek letters right. for Christ, and was able to design that in the center of the cross. And there's a wreath-like circle around it, and she's taken the wreath image and made a rope that's it's a debossed, which is set into the book around the edge of the book. It's just beautiful. The colors of the ribbons blend beautifully with the red image of the text, of the yeah. cover. And the colors of the tabs were also chosen, that all of them work very well together. They're very earth tone colors. I love them.
I'm just kind of laughing. We're talking about the time and the energy that went into the ribbons and the tabs. That's important.
Well, we've had numerous questions about the tabs. That was the primary concern from priests, that the tabs be functional. There are 41 of them. Wow. So the beginning of the Order of Mass, the beginning of the prefaces have their own tabs. Every page of the 10 Eucharistic prayers have tabs. Every page of the Communion Rite has a tab. And the Solemn Blessings has a tab, just like normal.
Currently, yeah.
There are 5 ribbons. The book itself, the pages are ivory paper, which will reduce the glare from various lighting situations. So it's very easy to read. It's a larger type font, so again, that also has more readability. We have continued with requests that we receive from priests on making the priest prayers in bold type, so that continues with our book. The book itself is 1,520 pages.
Oh my gosh. Which is only 350
more than the old sacramentary. So it's not that much bigger.
No, but it's a hefty book.
It's the ritual edition is just under 8.5 by 11. We also are selling a chapel edition, so it's a smaller version that's 7 by 9. The only difference with the chapel, I mean, the pagination is exactly the same. It's just a reduced size.
It has
size.
To be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Talk about the artwork, because all of the missals, the USCCB even governed. Mm-hmm. Where the yes. art is going to be yeah. in every issue,
they told
every
us
edition.
What pages we had to have art. Yeah. Didn't mean we couldn't have more, but we had to have 15 pages of full page art. They're on various feast days and seasonal days within the missal. We had an artist, Matthew Alderman, design the interior art. So it's all new art commissioned specifically for this book, which this book is for the Diocese of the United States. So we wanted it to be a traditional piece of art, yet had an American feel to
wow.
it. So it was specific to this country. It's two-color printing, so it's black, white, and red. There is a starkness to the art, but there's a beauty in that art. It tells the story. So the theology that's revealed in the art tells the story of the particular feast day. So the
Easter,
Assumption of Mary,
okay, the Assumption.
Easter Sunday has a piece of art, Transfiguration, the Nativity. The art is meant for reflection as well as a theological
Wonderful.
Decoration of the page.
Wonderful. So LTP has the missal itself. LTP also has a number of resources that we've been pushing in our office forever, understanding the revised Mass text.
Little booklet, 48 pages, great for parish staff, parishioners.
And there are 3 versions of it, in one sense.
Well, we had a first edition, which when the text changed, we updated it with the new text, and there's a leader's edition that goes with it. And then that was morphed into 2 resources, one for teens and one for children. So
right.
Maureen Kelly, who wrote those, based her material on Paul Turner's work.
So there's one for adults,
mm-hmm. one for teens.
And
one for kids, and those can be used in Catholic schools and religious education programs.
Individuals can use them themselves, or small groups like your Bible study group
right.
can use them.
Right.
Your
music ministry, your liturgical commissions,
any grouping that's in the parish, or any individual can use them.
Leaders' editions go with all 3, so your formation sessions are already put together. I do want to mention 2 resources that are specifically for priests, which just came out.
I'm excited about these.
One is called The Order of Mass, a Roman Missal Study Edition and Workbook. This has all of the texts of the Order of Mass. There are marginal notes how to proclaim them. So if you're familiar with Workbook for Lectors, it's the exact same setup. It has word emphasis, and then at the bottom of the pages, there's flowing commentary about the text. So that's the full order of Mass. But then we have a second one that's called Essential Presidential Prayers and Texts. We've taken the collects, the prayers over the offerings, the prayer after communion, and those days that have a preface within the proper of time. It's just Sundays, but also the solemnities of the Lord during ordinary time, and then the solemnities that are from the proper of saints. Those are in this book. Again, marginal notes with word emphasis on how to proclaim them spoken. But Annabelle O'Shea from Todd's office has pointed the text based on ISIL's recommendations for how to sing them musically, how to chant them, with chant tips as well.
So two new resources, Essential Presidential Prayers and Texts and the Order of Mass, a Roman Missal Study Edition. There we are, coming to the end of yet another show on the Roman Missal, but glad to do it. It's an exciting, terribly profound moment in the life of the church, and we'll be speaking about it in our show next month, and certainly the month of October. I'm Todd Williamson from ODW.
And I'm Danielle Knott from Liturgy Training Publications.
Stay tuned for more Catholic programming here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.